everybody, and welcome back to I Need God Pod, the podcast by I Need God in Every Moment of My Life on Instagram. I'm God Lover Kyle. This is our astrology forecast episode for April 2024. I'm going to try to keep it simple. I'm going to try to go over the major events only, but this is a pretty major month, maybe one of the biggest months of the year astrologically, and it's super interesting. So if you're ready to hear about it, I guess I'll just start talking about it, right? Everyone's ready. So Mercury will be retrograde the entirety of this month, really. It's from April 1st to April 24th in the sign of Aries. Mercury turns retrograde about four times a year for about 4 weeks each time. So it's often retrograde. It's nothing to fear. It can cause some issues with communications, with travel, with signing documents or buying new things or contracts. So just be mindful of that. Usually you just need to plan a little extra with Mercury retrograde period. So leave early. If you're going on a trip, double check everything is right. Double check the flight, the booking, whatever it is. Give yourself extra time. If it's really important that you be somewhere at a certain time, leave extra early. You just don't know what you're going to run into on the way there. And there are often setbacks and delays during Mercury retrogrades. So just be mindful of that the entirety of the month of April. Give yourself a lot of extra time and space for anything major that you need to do. If you do need to buy a new computer, if you do need to sign a contract, that is fine. Just make sure you read the contract twice. Make sure you read the specs of the computer and all the details of your purchase correctly. Make sure you know the return policy. Things like that could just be extra helpful during this time, this month of April 2024. It's going to be in Aries. So find the house in your chart that has Aries, and you could tell where in your life the most chaos will reign. For instance, if you're in Aries, Aries rising, Aries moon, that's your first house of self. You may be rethinking part of your identity. You may be, you know, you're someone who's so sure of yourself all the time and doesn't really double guess things. So you may be double guessing yourself. If you have Aries in the second house, then you're a Pisces rising, or maybe you're Pisces sun or moon. And this is going to affect the way you spend money. Just be careful about making purchases you regret. Don't be too trigger happy with purchases. That's something I would say about that. If you have Aries in the third house, you're an Aquarius rising, or maybe you have Aquarius sun or moon. This is going to affect your short-term, your chores. Make sure that, you know, you when you're doing your chores, you might run up against obstacles. Just be aware of that. Or even it could be a miscommunication with your siblings. If you have Aries in the fourth house, then you have Capricorn rising or Capricorn sun or moon, and you may find that there's a miscommunication with your family, or something goes wrong with your family, or something's wrong at home, or you're missing something, or things like that. If you have Aries in the fifth house, you have Sagittarius rising or Sagittarius sun or moon. Just be mindful about your creative projects. You may be thinking about new directions to move your creative projects, or you may have miscommunication with a lover, or something may go awry with your children even. Or if you have Aries in the sixth house, then you have Scorpio rising, or maybe your Scorpio sun or moon. Be careful with your health. Don't overexert yourself. You know, Mercury is retrograde in your sixth house of routines. You may have a routine get thrown off by something unexpected. Just be mindful of your health and your routines. If you have Aries in the seventh house, then you have Libra rising, or maybe Libra sun or moon. And you may find in your partnership there's a miscommunication, or whatever kind of one-on-one communications you have with people. You may be missing the mark with each other, just not really communicating clearly. Just make sure you're extra clear when you're communicating with your partners. If you have Aries in the eighth house, then you have Virgo rising, or Virgo sun or moon, and Aries is in the eighth house with Mercury going retrograde. Then you could fall into a kind of inheritance. You could lose money, or you could lose someone. If you have Aries in the ninth house, you have Leo rising, or Leo sun or moon. And with Mercury retrograde here in the ninth, You could be rethinking one of your philosophies or beliefs. You may have second thoughts about something you believe, or new information may come to light that help that is making you question just what it is you believe. Or if you're going on a trip, there may be trouble with your trip, so just be careful about that. Or you may learn something that's untrue, or you may unlearn something you thought was true before, and now you're learning that it's not true. And then if you have Aries in the 10th house, you would have Cancer rising, or Cancer sun or moon. The Mercury retrograde period will have to do with your career and your reputation. So you may run into trouble at work. You may have meetings that are double booked, or, you know, there may be technical difficulties with your work, or there may be a scandal with the way you're perceived. And then if you have Aries in the 11th house, you have Gemini rising, or Gemini sun or moon. You may have trouble in your groups and connect in your networks. So like if you're in any clubs, or if you're in any online group chats, or any communities, then there may be trouble with just communicating within those groups. There may be conflicts and miscommunication. So just be aware of that, extra mindful when you're in those group settings, that everything is super clear and that you're meaning what you're saying. And then if you have Aries in the 12th house, you have Taurus rising, or you have Taurus sun or moon. You know, there may be like different kind of dreams get thought up. This one's a little harder with Mercury retrograde because it's stuff that happens under the surface. So you may have inner conflicts, basically reflection about your dreams and things like that. Or it could even be something as simple as like, be careful about not overdosing on a drug. Be careful about overdoing your addiction, because things might be a little bit less, you know, clear. So just expect confusion, essentially. Okay, so that was kind of just a rundown of the signs for the Mercury retrograde. That's, like I said, April 1st, April 24th in Aries. And this happens all the time. This isn't anything new. It's just happening in a different area of your life, and it's something to be extra considerate about, and just make sure you're, you know, mentally aware that this is happening. And then it will help you a lot to not feel so frustrated when conflicts and misgivings arise, right? Okay, yeah, definitely. That's how I feel about that. On the 5th, Venus will enter Aries. So Venus is a planet of love entering Aries. It's a very passionate, very forward, a very bold sign, a sign that takes action, a sign that isn't afraid to try things, a sign that is less embarrassed than other signs. So with Venus in Aries, you may find yourself taking more risks in love. And the exact same kind of thing that I described for your sign for Mercury retrograde, I mean, I was saying the part of your life where Aries is. So think about love entering that part, whether I've talked about your work life or your philosophy or your love life or your friendships or your home life. Wherever you have Aries, Venus is going to enter, and it's going to soothe things just a little bit. It's going to bring a little bit of harmony to that area of your life. So it actually helps a lot with the Mercury retrograde misgivings, I think, because it helps us accept our setbacks with grace when Venus enters Aries on the 5th. Okay, now for the big one, the new moon in Aries on the 8th. This is a total solar eclipse. It's going to be able to be seen from the United States, which it's not always that way. It's a total solar eclipse in Aries. Eclipses are always huge astrological events. They're very significant, and they're critical times when things will come to an end, and they're suddenly or severely cleared away, and something new, like a new path opens. So it could be a confusing time. It's a time where not everything is immediately apparent about what's happening. It's kind of like the stage goes black. All the stagehands come out and move everything around, and then the lights go back on. And this could be very disorienting for people. So the new moon in Aries, the total solar eclipse, the last time we had a total solar eclipse in Aries, I think, was 2005. Aries is a sign of the self. It's the sign of the ego, in a sense, a little bit, or it is an action kind of oriented sign. It's fire, it's cardinal. So because of that, it will have to kind of do with our self-concepts And it's going to be happening in the same house that I just described for Mercury retrograde. So for Aries, it's your first house. For Taurus, it's your 12th house. For Gemini, it's your 11th house. For Cancer, it's your 10th house. For Leo, it's your 9th house. So you want to see what house it's happening in, because it's going to kind of be like a huge reset. Like I said, lights go off, everything changes, lights come on, disorientation. Think of it that way. It's conjunct with Chiron, which is the, it's not a planet, but I guess, is it a comet? It's not a comet, it's an asteroid, I guess. Chiron, it's pretty big. And it represents a wound. It represents where we need to heal, where we have a gift for healing others. It's almost like our original wound, our childhood wounds. This is going to be directly conjunct the sun and the moon during the total solar eclipse. So I expect it to have a little bit of a pain factor, a little bit of a harshness, or a little bit of a prickliness that excavates a shadow part of ourselves that confronts us with trauma. Basically, that is exactly what I think it's going to be like. So buckle up and just be aware that, you know, this is a significant event. It's a turning point. It's a new chapter. It is unknown, really. Like, the next phase is unknown kind of feelings. So just have that awareness that you're not alone in that feeling when this day comes, April 8th, which is on Monday. Okay, so immediately after that, the next day, Mars conjuncts Saturn in Pisces. This is pretty significant too. It's harsh, it's critical, it's filled with self-doubt. There's an mood of retaliation, of acting out. There's a sense of spiritual frustration. There may be disciplinary actions that you experience, or you may become a disciplinarian, depending on how this interacts with your chart. So just be aware that there's a certain harshness and criticality and breeding of self-doubt and even maybe a little bit of shame that comes along right after this new moon, if not with it a bit. So the eclipse happens and then this happens, happening in Pisces. So if you know what part of your chart has Pisces, you could look at that house, your Pisces house, and you could see where the Mars conjunct Saturn is going to kind of live in your life, what part of area of your life is going to be most affected by it. Okay, so that's just important to know that that's happening. The vibe isn't amazing. The vibe is kind of severe. The vibe is a little bit on edge, okay? That is just how it's going to be. On the 19th, 9 days later, the sun moves into Taurus. Mercury will conjoin with Venus in Aries. This is a pretty good shift. This brings us some groundedness, finally. This brings us a sense of security in a way. It also makes us feel and think in a Venusian way. Taurus is ruled by Venus. Venus will be conjunct with Mars. It brings into our mind, down into our bodies, a sort of groundedness, if that's really the best way I could put it. It's going to feel like the heart of spring. And the flowers will be in bloom. The sun will be a nice temperature, hopefully, wherever you are. And that is just a nice little thing that's happening. Then, on the 21st, Jupiter will conjoin with Uranus in Taurus. A Jupiter-Uranus conjunction happens only once every 14 years. So this is an important conjunction between two planets, Jupiter and Uranus, in Taurus. This isn't, you know, this isn't always a positive thing. There are some negative things that could be come of this. For instance, Jupiter is all about expansion. Uranus is all about novelty. There could be a tendency, maybe you overdo it in something that you've never really overdone before and you harm yourself. That's something I could see happening from this. Electrocution is something I could see happening in a very concrete way. But Jupiter conjunct Uranus, in general, it's going to be really opening up. It's going to really open us up in a way, bring us revelations, bring us new insights. Thoughts really will be electric and expansive. The ability to see the big picture will be really easy. It'll be like easy to see the big picture. So this is something that's like a world event and mixed with a personal event. So like on the personal level, all this is happening, but it's also kind of happening on a world level. There may be a revelation in the news. There may be a pressure to kind of, like, pressure may build that changes the way things go in a more macro sense. There could be a technological breakthrough or a shift in technology that happens with this. So I think it's pretty significant. I think it's good for renewal, and it's good for charging things up and giving us energy to move in a way that we're inspired by. It's a very inspirational kind of conjunction. It's going to bring people inspiration, especially wherever you have Taurus in your chart. So if you're in Aries, you have Taurus in your second house. It's going to be a revelation about the things you value. It may be an influx of money even. And for Taurus rising, obviously it'll be in your first house. It's going to be about yourself, self-discovery, self-revelation, an expansion of your identity, a growth in your identity, which is really cool. And say you have Gemini rising, then what? Taurus would be in your 12th house. And that will be an expansion of your dream world. It might even feel really freeing to explore your imagination and to have really inspired dreams. I would keep a dream journal. And let's just do one more. After Gemini, what? Cancer. That will be Taurus in your 11th house. This could be a really inspired connection in your network, someone meeting you out of the blue through a friend of a friend that really just expands your opportunity in your networks to bring you closer to other new people who are didn't have access before and who are ready to meet your mind and work or collaborate with you. And you can go on and on. So, you know, if you know your rising sign, then you can count to which house Taurus would be, with your rising sign being number one. For instance, let's do the next one. Leo rising is one, first house. So what comes after Leo? Virgo, second house. Libra, third house. Scorpio, fourth house, etc. until you get to the 10th house where Taurus is. And you're going to see that if you're a Leo rising or sun or moon, maybe, then your opportunities at work, you maybe get more work opportunities out of the blue. You may expand your reputation. You may do something iconic that you become reputable for, etc. So I'm not going to keep going just because I like want to keep it short and brief. But on the 21st, it's kind of a little gift for anyone, really. Also, just to keep in mind on that day, the sun will be square Pluto. So there is a kind of a deeper feeling to it. And it's going to have a quality of transformation. So there's a pressure to transform here, and don't resist it. Go ahead. It probably, you know, the probability is that you'll be set on something good will come, basically. All right. So then on the 23rd, we have the full moon in Scorpio. It's making a T square with Pluto. So think of a right angle between the moon, the sun, and Pluto, making a nice right angle triangle. Scorpio and Pluto are besties. This is an intense lunation with even more transformation in store. I think it really pushes people. It's really going to push people to commit to the change that's happening. If you find yourself in a place that is firm and stuck and rigid, you're going to be challenged to evolve. If you're on the path you're supposed to be on, then it's kind of will feel like a doubling down on whatever path you're on, like really digging in and really committing to it. Or it could be kind of like a difficult confrontation that everything needs to change or that things are already changing. And this is where we have to learn how the difficulty of the acceptance of that change and coming to terms with things are different now. That's kind of how I see this full moon. Full moons are a time of release generally. So with Scorpio is so has such a strong claw on things, and they're very serious often. And, you know, with its interaction with Pluto, which is a planet of transformation and change and deepness and stuff like that, it's like going to be a very, if you can release, it will be very cathartic. And it may not be an easy release. There may be some pain involved, but it will be a good release to go through that and, you know, move through those deep kind of harsh, transformational, fiery feelings to come out after this full moon with a better sense of purpose, really. Okay, and then the 25th, Mercury will move direct. The 29th, Venus will move into Taurus. Mars will conjunct with Neptune. That will be an interesting day. I don't want to get too much into it, but that will be an interesting day. The 29th, be wary on the 29th of acting out of delusion, I would say. And then on the 30th, Mars will move into Aries. So Mars has been in Pisces this whole time, and it's been really sucky. Honestly, Mars in Pisces is like putting a wet blanket on a firecracker. It is just not great for energy. It is sluggish. And so with Mars moving into Aries at the end of April on the 30th here, it will be a really good sigh of relief for everybody. Your energy will return. You will be more motivated to act. You will feel like the wet blanket has dried out and the firecracker has lit the blanket on fire, basically. So it's like finally some fire back in my gut and kind of energy to move forward and to incorporate whatever happened in April with all these major events. Take what happened and what you've learned from that, from what happened, and move forward, basically. So it's like moving into May. All right, so it's a rainy day here. The sirens are blaring, and I found the energy to make this episode. 20 minutes, that's good. I hope that this was clear to you and was good guidance for the astrological events. If you have questions about it for me, feel free to DM me or message me on Patreon. I'm happy to help with your astrology needs. You could also email me. Or if you work for a brand or publication that needs astrology writing, I've done astrology writing for brands before, and it is something I do enjoy. So feel free to contact me about that as well. You could do so through our Patreon, through my Instagram, I Need God in Every Moment of My Life, or you can go to I Need God at Every Moment of My Life at gmail.com. You could email me there. That's what I mean to say. Okay, thank you guys for listening. I have more interviews planned to broadcast, and I'm recording one tomorrow, and I have another one scheduled for the week after. If you have suggestions about who I should interview, I'm down to hear them. Like I said, I'm here if you need me. Thank you guys for listening, and amen.